J.C. Corcoran Podcast.
Here's another thing, you know, I think people think that a woman couldn't be commander-in-chief of the army because she'd be afraid to kill you if she had to. I don't think it's so. She'd kill you, just not in ways in which you're accustomed to seeing people get killed, that's all. I mean, she wouldn't use a boat or a tank or a plane. That wouldn't be her style, it'd be too obvious. Thinking back, I'd say if a woman really wanted to kill you, she might just get to know you first, then after a while, have you do it to yourself.
Now, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest as jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before?
Shh. I'm trying not to wake up the whole house. I can probably talk a little louder than that. We interrupt this podcast to bring you a podcast. All right, let me explain what happened. Yesterday morning, if you were listening, you know that I'm having surgery today. They initially indicated that they would probably give me a call around 11 or 10 o'clock, something like that, and that I would probably be asked to be at the hospital sometime around noon. I was like, okay, fine, no problem. I'll get up, do the podcast, you know, just sort of hang out and get myself to the hospital and get this over with finally. So yesterday they called up and they said, okay, we have you scheduled for 6:45 a.m. And I said, our time? Is that some weird pre-daylight saving thing going on that I don't know about? Like, no, we'll see at 6:45. So, you know, that's right about the time I'm finishing up the podcast. And, you know, I'll be in transit. And so that can't be done. So I decided to just get up very, very early this morning and put this together. And I'm warning you ahead of time, this is not a podcast. This is just something from the archives that I think you're going to get a kick out of today. There's a reason why I'm playing it. First of all, it's a half an hour long and it'll take up all the time. And oh, by the way, don't forget now, I won't be doing a podcast now until at least next Monday because they have told me I'm not going to be enjoying the process of sitting very much. Or, you know, they got to stuff the hose. This is general anesthesia. So they got to shove the hose down your throat, which messes up your voice and your vocal cords, and you're better to just rest them, and on and on and on and on it goes. So, just, you know, we'll talk to you on Monday the 25th. Monday the 25th is when we'll be back with a fresh podcast. So anyhow, I've had this in the archives for a long time, and I haven't done anything with it. But today that's going to change. What you're about to hear is the culmination in a lot of ways of a very, very long, 35-year-long story. Two people who could not stand the sight of one another somehow have become pals. And since this was on in the middle of the day and a lot of people missed it, and it is from almost exactly 2 years ago, I think it'll be self-explanatory. It's going to start out a little weird. You're going to go, what the hell is he doing? Trust me, it'll make sense. So if they mess this whole thing up and I die on the operating table, well, number one, Trish Gazelle, I told you, you can have my headphones. That's number one. And number two, it'll be odd that this was the last piece of broadcasting that was ever put together by me and that somehow came out of your speakers or earbuds. So I'll talk to you in a couple of days and enjoy this Acid Flashback here at jcontheline.com.
Then who are you talking to?
See, what are you talking Hollywood.
No, who are you talking to over there?
Here, come here. Look.
Who are you talking to?
Look over here.
No. Oh, my goodness. No one in a million years would ever believe who he's talking to.
Is that the guy that did the punning contest
yeah.
over here?
Yeah.
Are we gonna have a punning contest
if I,
on
if
the
If I went
lot?
On the air now and said, guess who is in Dan's quarantine glass cubicle? They would never guess, ever. What's he doing in here?
He brought something for you.
No, he didn't. He's
yeah, it's right
job.
Here. No, it's right here. It's his resume. No, he brought something for you.
What time is it? Ask if he wants to come in here.
You want to go in there?
Of course he
sure,
does.
Sure, he's coming
kidding?
In.
Yeah,
he's
of course in. He does. Are you kidding me?
He doesn't lie.
This is a dream come true. Has he have any headphones?
There's some right next to you there. Only one ear works, though. That's going to be a bit awkward.
Get in here. Do what I tell you. Go over there in the corner. No, you're in the corner. Like you've been most of your life.
Nobody puts JC in the corner.
Yes, they do. Here we do. Get up. You shouldn't have said that. Now they know kind of who you are. Sit down. Do we have headphones for him? Let me see. No, don't speak yet. Don't speak yet. Just make sure your level okay. You're up, down, what do you need?
He can adjust it. He can adjust his level, I think.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be horrible if what we're about to do goes well? I mean,
would not turn out fun.
That would just sort of be contradictory to everything. Ladies and gentlemen, in this studio, and I know he's working somewhere else, and he may get fired because of this, but he's used to that. In this studio.
Oh, my goodness.
In this he's actually smiling.
Haven't even said a word yet. He's already taking a shot at it.
In this studio. Wow. All I have to say is the name, J.C. Corcoran.
Hey! At least this time, I didn't just barge in and push the door open.
I wish you had, because that was a great that was great radio. That was a great moment. It was.
It was better if people could have seen it.
Oh, it was a good visual. We should have been on 11.2 or one, you know, some big TV channel or something. Wow, I'm tempted to say how are you, but then you'd take it till 6,
I wouldn't get any new sponsors in or nothing.
So then, when I was 13, my dad got me a bike.
Yeah,
and then
since you're here,
somewhere Randy Markell is sitting there going, "What? What? Wait, what happened?"
He's
right next door.
Oh. No. Here's what he's doing right now. He's calling Melissa, who is his sort of does-everything office manager,
right.
And he calls everybody Bud, so he probably calls her Bud. He calls her right now, and he goes, "Hey, Bud, did I hire that guy? I don't remember. Did I hire him?"
If he's calling anybody right now, it's security.
Yeah, the Kirkwood police are on the way. Can we establish something since you're here? I almost hate to put an end to this, because forever and ever and ever, people have thought we hated each other. And maybe you disliked me at some point, probably had a right to. But for the record, and I'll say it right to you, I have never hated you. I will say to your face what I said, when was it, yesterday or the day? I was talking about him, and I said, one, I think it is absolutely ridiculous that Casey decided to do that, whatever they did, and not include you. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard of. Okay.
If you're looking for an argument, you're not going to get one.
No, I don't expect one. And the other thing I will say is, while you on many occasions have been an a-hole and some other words I can't use.
And this is the complimentary part.
Right. Yeah.
This is the feel good. This is the feel good part of the show.
I also, you know, how many people tonight will be going, "Oh my goodness, I can't believe I missed that. Who was in there with him? Are you kidding me? Was it an impersonator? Was it a joke? I wish I'd heard that." That's why we have podcasts. The other thing you need to know is, you and I are
relics.
In many, no. Yeah, that's the word I'm looking for.
Nice.
See, that's really what this is all about. I've always liked you. It's Strauss, I can't say.
No. Sadly, what he said is kind of true. And that is that you work really hard at this, and you always have, and everybody notices that. You do, man. You archive things, and
you're half right.
Well, but you have a great memory.
I do work hard. I don't think they notice. If they noticed, I'd be on a bigger station right now.
But people in the business notice. They do.
Okay, I'll take
other people who work in the business do notice it. They don't like you, but they know. You know, they notice that you work.
This
hard.
Is the this is the Tom Cruise homoerotic beach volleyball Top Gun scene right now.
Yes,
we're all getting along right now.
We're never not going to get along, because we don't have any reason not to get along. You understand the programming part of this business.
Here comes Larry Connors. What's going on in here? I sat next to Larry for years.
He thinks it's a hologram. He thinks
we projected JC's image in here somehow. New technology.
The look on Connor's face right now is priceless.
Take a seat.
Somebody get a picture of this.
Yeah, why are you not wearing pants?
Why start? Here?
You weren't supposed
not anything to see, but I still.
Oh. Wow. Larry comes in with material.
Good to see you, JC.
Nice to see you, Larry.
So, for the record, we don't hate each other. I don't hate you. I've never hated you. I found many things that you did over the years, a combination of shocking and brilliant, because I said the other day, the people in this business who don't make it are the people who, whether by design or because they don't have any talent, don't cause talk. If people don't talk about you, you're just another Danny O'Day. You're just another, you're just another one of a thousand guys on there, given the time, the temperature, and, that was Katy Perry with it. A million people can do that. People have to talk. Whether it's at dinner and they go, hey, did you hear the joke Frank told today? Or they say, oh my goodness, did you hear what JC said? I can't believe it.
Frank, I've always acknowledged the fact that I'm a professional boat rocker. That's what I do.
No.
And I'm proud of it because listen to what is on the air in 99% of the cases around St. Louis radio right now. Talent ruled in this market for about 25 years. When I got here in 1984, the management of all of the collective radio stations were firmly in charge of everything. And then when we came in and started really rocking the boat for a period of about 25 years, the talent ruled in this radio market. And now it has swung all the way back to the way it was 30 some odd years ago, most of them odd, 34 years ago before I got here. And the management is in charge, firmly in charge now. They only want people who are smart enough, competent enough to run the computers, to keep the radio station on the air, to play the songs, to play the commercials. There's a couple of rare exceptions, this being one of them. The show that I do on FM at 93.1. Did you see how I did that, Strauss?
No, we just bleeped it out. It never went out.
There's a small number of exceptions, and I'm proud of what I've done. We made things interesting for a long time.
All right, regrets, though. You have some.
Regrets. By the way, this is sort of like Strauss is Frank Sinatra, and you're Dean Martin, and I'm Jerry Lewis. See how I made myself the funny one?
You're Jerry Lewis 30 years ago.
Does that make me Sammy Davis?
Yeah. You know that we could do 3 hours of just history.
We'll send these guys home.
Yeah. All right. You guys are excused.
Bye.
I
can't. I'd love to stay, but I'm an Uber driver, and I just dropped off somebody here. I gotta get back to the car.
Well, it's actually nice to see. I one of these days, and I've actually thought about this. You and I, we're gonna go to dinner. The truth is, the truth is, you did something that few people are able to do in a single market. do it in just one market, and that is to rock the boat is an understatement. I mean, I always say that the brilliant people in radio, the most brilliant people, the most successful people, have two huge audiences. They have an audience of people who hate their guts and an audience of people who love them. Rush does. Howard does. They have people who every day go, I can't believe what he said today. I can't stand that guy. But they heard him.
I interviewed Joan Rivers in 1985, one-on-one, sitting in a room with her at one of the nice hotels here when I was working at TV. And she said, if you're not getting hate mail, if you're not getting people who say, I hate that guy, then you're not doing your job.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
That's the way it works.
But if somebody is white bread, milk toast, bland, blah, never rocked the boat, save, nobody talks about them.
That's right.
Nobody. They're not talking about you. You're not going to make it. Tim, you're awfully quiet.
Well, you know, he said you and him are going to have dinner. This is a true story. I saw Randy Markell out in the parking lot, and he told me he and Frank are having dinner tonight. And I said, who picks up that tab? And Randy goes, who do you think, old Gator Arms? If you agree to dinner with him, bring your wallet.
There's a man who's secure in his job right there.
Yeah. Wow. I can't make that up. That truly happened.
He just did like a short-arm Tyrannosaurus Rex thing right there. Yeah.
Now, here's how disrespected JC is. Yeah. Randy and I are having dinner tonight. And he's sending JC the bill. He's not even there.
The hell is that? Yeah.
And JC might pay it just because he thinks, well, if I pay this, maybe I'll get to work there.
I worked here when they were making the transition from, well, this little thing, 1380, and then they switched it over to 590, and I worked there. And by the way, Dan, if you want to look, I'll pull up the back of my shirt, and I'll show you the stab marks from Jeff Burnetti. But anyhow, at that time, it was supposed to be talk in the morning, sports in the afternoon. That was the plan for the radio station.
Right.
Talk in the morning, sports in the afternoon. So I did the morning shows on from 6 till 9 every day. And then after like a month, it just turned to sports again. So I kept going to the management at the time of that radio station and saying, look, everybody else is just morphed into doing all sports, so I guess I should be doing, no, we want you to do exactly what you do, I was like, wait, but everybody else is sports, I'm the only guy not doing sport. No, we want you to do what you do. I got a phone call one afternoon from the manager of the station saying, you're not our format, we're going to do sports, so you're done. So this is the way things go, and you're sort of like, okay, except if it's too late at that point, they've already made their decision. Yeah.
It's a hard business to describe to people.
Messed up?
Well, there are two powerful forces fighting each other.
Think kindergarten with money.
Yeah. Sales and programming. Both essential and both constantly fighting each other. Because sales has no clue. They don't understand programming. They don't care about sales. The guy on the air wants to play his music or talk. They don't know anything about sales. So, for it to work, they have to work together, and they rarely do. I think we probably share a lot of the same ideas about what works and what doesn't work. You just decided to take it to another level that St. Louis had never seen. Do you remember the day, and I talked about this the other day on the air too, and I think the reason all this started was when I saw or heard about the Casey thing, it actually made me mad, because that's how stupid some of these people are, that you do an anniversary thing and you celebrate the existence of a station where the one guy who took it to a place where I don't know the numbers, he's probably never had been before.
That's correct.
Is not included. Mm-hmm. It's like he didn't really exist. Just skip that part. It's stupid. That's how it started. But then I had to tell a couple of stories. One of them was the punning contest.
Oh my goodness.
And the other was the day that Merrill Hansen, who was the general manager of both the FM and the AM.
Camp Hansen.
KSDFM, which was KS94, and KUSA, which was 550, was a country station. And you had just come off of this unbelievable run at KSH, where you set the world on fire and then set yourself on fire, so you're out of work. But she brings you in.
I quit, by the way, but that's another story.
Oh, okay. He quit because they said, but JC, guess what? You're quitting.
I made, it's like you said, I made history there. I walked in one day and they said, JC, you're history. All right, now I'll do the rim shot.
So she brings you in, and I happen to be walking through the lobby, and there she is with you, and she says, Frank, I want you to meet somebody, and JC, this is Frank Opinion. He is mornings on our country station. Frank, this is JC Corcoran. And I looked at him, and I said, so, what market did you come from? Like, I didn't even know. And I did it because I knew.
And then
they
yelled at you for that.
Oh, I had to have a meeting after that was over. She took me in her office. She goes, what are you trying to do? And I said, I'm trying to make him mad.
Have you ever told the story about how to impress the corporate owners, Gannett, at the time? You brought a horse into the building.
A horse?
You brought a horse into the building.
Ah!
Oh, you have to tell that story.
I don't
story,
remember
then.
That. There
he doesn't remember.
No. Oh, I'm getting texts now from everybody.
What are you doing?
I didn't bring a horse. I don't think.
There's one from Guy Phillips.
Anyhow. And you know what the text from Guy says?
Can I get on there too? My days are numbered.
No, I did. I never brought a horse.
Yeah, you did. You did. I remember it vividly. There was a thing where they brought in the corporate people and the sort of the national sales representatives from New York.
Okay.
And each of the two stations was supposed to bring in, was supposed to put on like a little presentation. And I don't know what we did, but I remember that you guys, it was you and Robert the Country Fox and
Lee Sherwood.
Lee Sherwood and a guy by the name of Al Admire.
Yes.
And you guys brought, you decided to do a quote, dog and pony show. And so here comes the dog, and they're like, oh, okay, that's good. They brought a dog in. And then here comes a freaking horse. You brought a horse into the radio station. Don't say you didn't. I remember.
No, I'm stunned that I
had to clean up after it.
I am stunned that I was that clever. I don't remember that.
My favorite part of the story that he told about you, because he's told stories about you about four times. I've only been on the show for about 8 months. He told a story about the day you had the punting contest out in the radio station. He was making funny, and you got really upset. The Rams had just come to town, and you came in. You almost smacked somebody in the head with a microphone, and you just grabbed it, and you just ranted, and then you bust out of the studio. My favorite part of the story is Frank waited about 30 seconds and goes, who is that
guy? Who is that guy?
As I told Strauss before I came in here, when Frank tells that story, he leaves out a couple of tiny little elements of the story that led up to it.
Oh, like
it's your show. So.
No. I want to hear that version.
My memory's gone.
I think you have a pretty good drug memory. Now, I also told the story. The only reason I'm repeating this is I want him to confirm it was true. You left the note on Fred Zolanko's door. Your wastebasket had been empty. Yeah. Now, this is a guy, he comes into a station, he's the new guy, yet my wastebasket hadn't been empty. Mm-hmm. And he leaves a note.
Can I stop you? Why did you put it with that level of intonation? Maybe it was that we had just started, there was a new office, and the people who were cleaning up didn't know that there were now people inhabiting that office. Mm. And so now the trash had been sitting there for almost a week. And it's like, hey, Fred, you might want to tell the cleaning crew there's somebody in this office now. They should clean it.
Okay.
That's all it was. Okay. So it wasn't like,
but it came off as.
I told the story that the note that JC put them up there said, my wastebasket hasn't been emptied in 3 days.
It was like 3 days or a week. Could we do something about this? Mm-hmm.
Right.
So I'm on the way out and I thought, well, I can't resist. So I took a piece of paper and I put mine under it and it said, hey, Fred, I just realized JC hasn't been fired in at least 3 days. Can we do something about this? And the guy who ran the place, Tim, calls me in his office and holds that note up and said, did you write this?
See, I'm responsible for Frank getting yelled at twice now.
I know. Yeah.
Great.
And I said,
and today will be three.
I said, yeah, I did. I signed it. I signed it. That's my name. I did it. And he just said something like, don't do that. Don't do that.
Here we all just get along.
No, but here's the thing. The stuff that we're talking about and the stuff you did, some of it went too far, of course, but oh my goodness, did it cause talk. It's the very thing that we're talking about, and people knew who you were and they knew who I was in the 80s. They knew who we were because we caused people to talk.
The management of all of these radio stations that have hired me knowing exactly what I do,
right?
And they love it when stuff like that happens.
Right.
And then when, in those rare occasions, and they were rare, in those rare occasions where something does blow up in your face, well, now they're looking for a bus to throw you under.
Yeah.
But, you know, everybody who has hired J.C. Corcoran knows exactly what they're getting when they hire me.
And it's too bad that on a dime they can turn on you. You know, 1 minute they're supportive. This is our guy. Mm-hmm. And then one thing, and maybe it's an advertiser. Well, you know what? If it's one advertiser who doesn't understand what you do, sorry. Others do. And And they're here for the right reasons because they want people who are listening to come do business.
What are you trying to do? You're trying to reach people.
Exactly.
Whenever they want to know what your ratings are, how many people are you reaching? How far does your social media reach? How many people are out there? How many people came to your event? It's a numbers game. So as long as you're not promoting Nazism or something like that, as long as you're getting people to listen, well, then you're doing your job. It is about bodies. It is about people because you don't have to be a Republican, Democrat, independent, or whatever the case may be. If you need a couch, then the furniture store wants to know how many people are listening to your radio station and are going to hear your message
right.
because they don't care what your political persuasion, your sexual orientation is, whatever. They want as many people as possible to hear their commercials so that when they got a couch sale, you come in and you buy one from them.
And people are such hypocrites because let's say there's
Dan Futon. Okay,
Let's say there's an advertiser who's listening. Okay. And you say something just outrageous. Maybe I tell a joke that's oops, you know, yeah. And that person, let's say somebody who has a business is an advertiser. yeah, listen, I didn't like that. I was in the car and my son was in the car and I think that was inappropriate. And then they hang up and keep laughing their guts out again, which is the same reaction the rest of the audience is having, which is what you want.
Because did you like Phil Donahue?
I appreciated what he opened up.
Okay, let me tell you something he told me once. You notice that Phil Donahue was never part of a network operation. He was always in syndication, and right. he had offers to go to the network, and he turned them all down for exactly the reason that you just described. Right. Somebody's driving along, a network executive is driving along, and his wife says, you know, that Phil Donahue, you know what he did yesterday? He did this thing that was just disgusting. Next thing you know, Phil Donahue gets fired.
Right.
When you're in syndication and you got 300 radio stations, that's 300 bosses.
Right.
That's 300 people. And yeah, it can be a little bit of a problem on its own. I mean, six of one, half a dozen of the other, but at least you lose one station in Omaha.
You're still on 99.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
No, there's safety in that. And the syndication days are all but over.
They are pretty much.
What will save and has saved talk radio is the fact that towers don't matter anymore. Wattage doesn't matter. People can listen in Seattle. They can listen in Dallas. Now, advertisers, you don't care about that. You know, Deerberg's doesn't care if somebody in Seattle is listening. But the point is, the limits that used to be there aren't there anymore. The sad thing is, I would love to have been in my 30s in the 50s when radio, Arthur Godfrey, I mean, it ruled. Radio and TV. Three TV channels, ABC, NBC, CBS. You had a handful of radio stations, billboards, and newspaper. That's it. And everybody watched and everybody listened. And
would you have wanted to be in your 30s in the 50s, Strauss?
No, you know what? Too boring.
Obviously. No Viagra.
I know.
By the way, I got a joke, and I know people go hit the click sound. Go hit the rifle click.
That's my lightsaber.
Oh, yeah, give me that.
Whenever anybody comes.
It's called cocking. You can say cock.
If
it's a rifle cock, a hammer cock, you can say cock. So cock the hammer. Here we go.
Yeah.
you can't say it right after Viagra, though.
Why is Viagra like going to Disney World? You got to wait around an hour for a 2-minute ride.
Okay. I was kind of going.
2 minutes? That's a long ride.
Do you ever tell jokes? Because actually, all I really have in my little goodie bag is jokes. I tell jokes. That's really all I have. And I'm a salesman. Do you ever tell jokes?
Usually, most of the jokes I talk about is just I'm ripping on myself. Yeah, I'll just say something stupid that I did today.
I was talking about that today.
Did you ever wake up in the morning after you've been drinking, okay, and you wake up and on the nightstand or the table or whatever it is, or in my case, next to the couch. No, but you look over on the table and there's a bowl that clearly had been filled with something the night before and all that's left is the residue in the bowl. And you look at it and you have no recollection whatsoever of what had been in that bowl that you consumed. I'm asking for a friend.
What could possibly leave residue?
For a friend.
What could leave residue?
Queso dip. Yeah, no. No one here has any idea what you're talking about.
Okay, then we're moving on.
But you don't tell jokes, which...
I rip on myself. I just talk about something stupid that I did. Or, you know, I don't know. I mean, I can't... If somebody... What do the comedians always say? The most boring thing to do is to talk about comedy. Because you can't. You can't talk about comedy. It's just... what some people find funny, the other guy doesn't find funny. You just throw it out there. You trust your instincts. You've been doing this. Anybody worth their salt in entertainment, and radio might be the bottom rung on the entertainment ladder, but it's still entertainment. And anybody who has been doing entertainment successfully over a protracted period of time trusts their instincts. And I know you do that. That's what I do. If we don't know what, I heard you say a long time ago, I don't need any help with this.
No.
You know, I don't need any help with this. And that's how I feel too. And, just let me do my job.
And you and I have never needed that meeting after the show. Holy cow. I don't do
that. I'll go further than that. All it does is just irritate people like you and me.
Well, and we know when we do something and it doesn't work. We know the second we do it, it didn't work.
I don't know about you. I'm my own worst critic. When I get off the air and I say to myself, that wasn't good enough to be on the air in Boise. And so you try to do a better job the next day. And it's like Lorne Michaels said a long time ago. Okay, some nights, Saturday Night Live is going to suck. Sometimes they're going to hit it out of the park. And it's sort of like a batting average. You know, at the end of the season, you hope that, you know, you're somewhere in the low 300s.
JC says, that wasn't good enough to be on in Boise, so I'll do it in Perryville.
By the way, in about a year, everybody's going to finally go, oh, that's why he took that job. And that's all I'll say.
Wow, great tease. A year in advance. That's what
it is. Sometimes you just got to take it in the shorts for a little while things are in motion. And then eventually people go, oh, I wish you would have done that.
Wait a minute.
I get asked a lot, when are you going to retire? And my answer is, when there's no money. Because why would you quit doing something that's easy, that you like to do? Why would you quit?
It's the old Henny Youngman joke. I got enough money to last me the rest of my life. Unless, of course, I got to buy something.
Well, I'm glad you came in. And we talked about doing things that cause talk. Trust me, tonight in this town,
yeah,
nobody, this has never happened, ever, that we were on in the same studio the other, except for the day he knocked the hinges off the door and came in and tore the,
microphone. I knocked the hinges off the door. But I do have to go because those guys, I took their order at the table a little while ago and they're really mad because they haven't brought their food yet. So I got to get over there.
Well, you know what? It was nice to see you. It was.
This is a pleasure.
I wish you the best. And one of these days, maybe we'll just do a couple hours and I don't think we'll ever run out of anything to say. I don't think it'll be tough to do.
And if that works, we'll put it on the radio.
See?
Where's the rim shot?
That was comedy. Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen listening to this.
Unless you just moved to St. Louis a couple of years ago, I don't even have to say anything except J.C. Corcoran, everybody.
By the way.
Yes.
Is there air conditioning in this building?
Apparently not.
Yeah.
I told Limey yesterday, I came in, I go, what the heck, it's hot in here, and he went out and did something, and the air came on. Do that again.
Did you?
I got you.
Did you ever see that Gilbert Gottfried thing, and I'll leave with this. This is a true story. Gilbert Gottfried was watching the Tom Snyder interview with Charles Manson. When I think it was maybe late 70s, early 80s, when Tom Snyder did the old Tomorrow Show. And Charles Manson, you know, Gilbert Gottfried, tell the story, is hilarious because he said that Manson sat there and said, is it hot in here or am I crazy?
That was a good Gilbert.
I miss Tom Snyder. I love Tom Snyder. We don't have anything like that anymore.
No, he was amazing.
All right. And we don't have anything like you on the air anymore either.
Gotta go.
I didn't say that was a bad thing.
He's still on the air.
I'm gonna go out there and try to revive Larry Connors.
All right.
In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
All right, JC Corcoran.
Larry did come in and say that you three in the studio have over 100 years experience in the business. He goes, "We are relics."
That might have been a compliment.
I think it might have been.
Okay, now I'm really
the JC Corcoran podcast.